identified that this would be an equivalent. So we suspect that in order to take sums of topoi in the geometric sense, we have to take products of the corresponding categories. And this we will now check. Assume we have now topoi EI. And now we are in the unpleasant situation. You see, how do we designate the sum of these topoi? So I never really faced this too. So I really want to think of the EIs as being spaces, you see. And I like to designate that like this, but then it's a category, it will be the product category. It's an unpleasant situation. I think on someday one will have to distinguish between the categories and the geometric picture one has of topological space. One can perhaps do it by a trick by saying that you see, just as with points and schemes, that the geometric object is a series, you see, is of which the topos is a classifying topos. Never mind. So here we are in an unpleasant situation. So let's not mind the notations for the time being. Quite evidently, the situation is not so good. But let's see the mathematics. Look at the product of the categories EI. Now, first remark, this is a topos. And any category, product category of topoi is a topos. And now let's show that this topos has the universal property of a sum of topological spaces. So we wonder, what are the morphisms of topoi of this particular topos into any other topos on its edge? So here, this arrow is not a functor, it's a morphism of topoi. So to determine these morphisms of topoi is the same as to determine functors from F into this product category, or this E, which have the exactness property stated. But of course, to give a functor from F into a product is the same thing as to give a family of functors from F into each of the EIs. And any type of exactness property which we can demand on the functor will be equivalent to the corresponding exactness property for each of the factors. And therefore, we get, by looking at the exactness properties that describes morphisms of topoi, that HomTop EF is actually equivalent by natural functor to HomTop underlined of EIF, product of all these categories. We can say that the projection of each of E on each of the factors EI, for instance, is an inverse image functor for morphism of topoi, but the morphism of topoi in the geometric direction goes this way, and that E is a two sum in the sense of two categories of the EIs in the sense that this diagram here, which associates to every morphism from E into an F, the corresponding morphisms from EI into F is an equivalence of categories. So this is the simplest example of some two direct limits of topoi, and in fact, one can construct, I think, any kind of direct limits of topoi, all kind of quotients, for instance, and such things, amalgamated sums. And it turns out that if you apply these operations to the category of topological spaces, taking quotients of topological spaces, for instance, but in the sense of topoi, you see, we have something like a really screwy equivalence relation on topological space. And when we look at the quotient of this space by this equivalence relation, we may get something pretty Google sound, which is of no use whatever. But it turns out that in a number of cases, when you take the quotient within the category of topoi, we get something quite reasonable, which makes good sense. So this is a little bit explained also in the exercises here. But the example I gave of direct limit operations on topoi direct limits, understood in geometrical sense, thinking of the spaces rather than the category of fields, that the example I gave was the one where everything worked fine, whether working with topological space or with topological situation was particularly trivial. But there are more intricate situations where the point of view of topology is quite evidently better than the point of view of topological spaces. Now let's give a last example, which is kind of related intuitively to this one. That's the case of an induced topos. Let E be a topos, and let X be an object of E. Then we have spoken about the induced topos E over X of all objects of E lying over X. And we have said that more or less we would like to view this topos as being X itself, okay, by looking at the analogy with topological spaces. For instance, if we look at the final object of E, called whatever small e if you want, this would mean that we identify E with the final object, just as when we have topological space X. Well, X can be the final object of the category of the entire space of X. Now what I want to say is that maybe we better call the final object X and X prime the arbitrary object, so that we think of X as being topological space and X prime as being an entire space related. And now we want to define a morphism from E X prime into E over X, which is the same as E, where X is a final object. Well, what does this mean? This means that in the opposite direction, we should define a functor from E to E over X prime having the right properties and exact properties, and what we take is a functor which associates to every object Z what we call already the restriction of Z to X prime, namely Z times X prime, but viewed as lying over X prime by the second projection. So in the case when our topos is a topos of entire space over a topological space X, this is just inverse image function. And on the other hand, the exactness properties within the topos E, E again being a general topos, ensure that this functor just constructed commutes with arbitrary diagonals, for example, commutes with sums, that means that sums are universal, and it commutes certainly, that's true in any category, with arbitrary inverse limits, because it's an adjoint functor on the right of the forgetful functor, which is the inclusion functor of Ex prime into E. All right. So we have a functor U upper star here, called rather I upper star, which is in fact the inverse image functor associated to morphism of topos from Ex prime into Ex. And this morphism of topos should be viewed really as being the morphism from X prime into the final object X. I mean, just think of the particular case of topological spaces. And in this case, we have, in fact, as I star not only is left exact but commutes with arbitrary inverse limits, we have adjoints on both sides. On the one hand, we have the right adjoint, I lower star, which is the direct image functor associated to I. But we have also the left adjoint, which we have agreed to call I lower schräg. And I lower schräg, in fact, is just the functor from Ex prime to E, which for the object over X prime forgets the target of this object and just views it as being an object of E. So this is a more trivial functor here. Whereas the direct image functor, I mean, is a functor which is closely related to the home underline functor, which can be described algebraically in terms of the home underline functor. Now, this homomorphism of topos is called the localization morphism of topoi, corresponding to the object X prime of E. In a way, we view the things when we have certain situation here, and you look at its inverse image on E over X prime, we view this as being operation of localization, so to say. And in a certain sense, which we, it's nearly as good as an open immersion of topological spaces, you see. It's something that generalizes Eta morphisms, at least, which are locally open immersions, topological spaces. So this is the model which we will take if we ever want to define local isomorphisms of topi. I mean, these are the morphisms of topi which locally look like a localization morphism. That would be the correct definition. But we have to be more explicit about what the language of local properties means. So this we will start doing, I think, next time with speaking about.
Can we decide
on what size?
Yes.
No, yeah, that's
when
cool,
shall
yes.
we meet? That's a good question.
Yeah. So from 1:30 to 4:30. From Monday through Wednesday, there is this course on algebraic geometry. So I wonder, what about after 4:30? Would we have enough class for those which have to come back to Buffalo?
What about tomorrow?
Well, maybe it's a little short. On the other hand, I more or less agreed with a friend of mine to leave tomorrow morning. So, by the way, there are another question which you raised. You said that there are questions accumulating and that we should meet sometime in order to deal with them. So maybe, so there are two different questions. Arranging for a meeting to discuss about pending questions, and another going on with the course, which are the two questions are related. So for the course, couldn't we do it, let's say, something from 5:30 to 6:30 on.
How many are here? Would need a ride back to the main campus. We're planning to stay on, and could meet after 4:30, say. On what day?
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Any commutes the same.
Okay.
What's your question?
No, how many people? I'm just trying to figure out how many people would need a ride. Looks like everybody's okay. Who's planning to be here? There's no problem.
So there's no problem.
There's no problem.
So why not?
Can I ask how many meeting?
Well, how many times would you plan on meeting? I mean, we can meet as many times as you're interested.
I think there would be one or two more in order to explain the relations between topoi and sites. I think this is the main thing that is left to do. And we could make it two if you come back to the examples in a bit. And then after this, maybe we will, in a smaller group perhaps, because it will then become rather technical about relations between algebraic structures and topoi.
Right. Well, why don't we turn it, since this is going to go on, you know, for a while, why don't we set it on? What days do the people prefer? And then the Monday, Wednesday, or Friday. Any preferences?
Monday,
Wednesday, or Tuesday.
I mean, excuse me, I keep thinking Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday.
Monday or Tuesday. Oh, no, sorry, Tuesday.
For Tuesday? Monday?
Monday,
wait.
Monday, I think. I'm more energy from the weekend.
How many people prefer it Monday?
I can't come on Monday.
How about Tuesday? What have you got? You teach on Tuesday, so it's going to be about the same.
What about before 1:30 instead of after 4:30?
Well, how do you feel about earlier in the day rather than? that's what I thought.
Yeah.
let's go at the 4:30. Let's go at the wrong the 4:30 or 5:00, and we can let's for 1 hour.
Yeah. How do you mean?
How about, no, I'm sorry, how long will it be? Will we last?
One hour and a half, something like this. If you make it, you see, I will stop 4:30
4:30, that has to be for the people, there's so many people need it.
Quarter to five, let's say something.
Quarter to five for another hour, I see.
One hour and a half, yeah. So till around six, quarter after six.
Till around six, okay.
On Monday, let's say?
Yeah, some people might have to leave a few minutes early, but that can be helped.
Yeah.
On Mondays, you prefer?
Yeah, fine.
What time?
Okay.
So we said quarter to five, something like that?
Okay, quarter to five on Mondays.
Yeah.
Okay.
And on the hand, yes, we wanted to meet sometime. You said that you had some questions, perhaps some other people have some questions.
Yeah. I think that after you finish all the lectures, if we have another session for question session, that will be so.
But maybe if the questions are accumulating and prevent understanding, you see, we better.
Then you and I answer after lecture.
Yes. So should we end the meeting right now for discussing
problem session
questions? What do you think about Ozaki? Should we arrange another meeting now?
Well,
no, I think feel
urgency of. No, I mean the thing is after you finish, if you come one more session, that will be, I think, enough. And otherwise, I think people can ask.
But the one more session, we can start in fact. Next session with raising questions and discussing the questions that we have suggested by the previous talk. Maybe it's better not to let it become old. So we'll start next time then with that. After all, there's no.
Thank you.